As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
Welcome to the Rocket Ship Podcast. I'm Matt Goldman.
I'm Joelle Steiniger.
And I'm Michael Sacca. Today, we talk to the managing director, Ryan Cooter, of Qualcomm Robotics Accelerator, powered by Techstars. Guys, what'd you think?
I thought it was amazing to learn about all the robotic stuff that's going on kind of in the same industry as us, but also paralleled. There's a lot changing right now. There's a ton of opportunity, and Ryan is just at the front of it, and they're working with great companies.
Yeah, it's really fun to kind of open your mind a little bit and think about what things are going to look like. You know, he was describing looking out the window and seeing a bunch of drones going by, delivering food and packages and infrastructure that would be needed to control, the safety of all that stuff. And it's just fun to kind of daydream and listen to all the fun things that are going on there.
All right, let's get into it.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors. Hover makes purchasing and managing your domain simple and easy. This week, I talked to George Diab of Working On about why he uses Hover.
Oh, man. I've been using it for a long time, probably 2012, I think. I love it. The prices are great. The interface is awesome. And I still have a few domains out in some other places, and I'm just waiting to find some time, and I'll move them all to Hover. I love it. Yeah.
Go to hover.com and use the code SatisfiedCustomers to get 10% off your domain purchase today.
CodeShip is a hosted continuous delivery service focusing on speed, security, and customizability. You can set up continuous integration in a matter of seconds and automatically deploy when your tests have passed. CodeShip supports both your GitHub and Bitbucket projects, and you can get started with CodeShip's free plan today. Should you decide to go with a premium plan, you can save 20% off of any plan for the next 3 months by using code ROCKETSHIP. Go to codeship.com/rocketship and check it out.
Kind of introduce us to the Qualcomm Robotics Accelerator powered by Techstars.
Sure. The Qualcomm Robotics Accelerator powered by Techstars is a program that's designed to help early stage robotics companies get their start. It includes a little bit of capital, a lot of really intense mentorship. We're going to be bringing 10 fantastic entrepreneurial teams with early stage robotics companies out to San Diego for the summer, where we're going to provide them with a really intense mentor-driven program that's designed to get things going for them.
How, are these robotics companies that have extensive experience in robotics, or are these people that recently are even just interested in robotics or have some very early like Arduino experience in robotics?
It tends to be the former, right? When you start talking about people who are deciding to build a business in building robots, it's typically something that they've got experience in. And we're very fortunate through the application process to get to meet a lot of really fantastic entrepreneurs who are just, exceptionally brilliant, not just from, their PhDs from top universities, but also from the way that they look at the world, the way they see the problems around the world, and the types of solutions that they're dreaming up to go ahead and solve those problems.
So you mentioned before that you were looking through like 100 applications. And you said there were some trends that were emerging as you went through these to pick 10 companies. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, we were actually looking at like hundreds of applications,
okay.
Right? We looked at a lot of startups. And going into this, one of the big questions that we were asking is, what's a robot? Mm. And you've got C-3PO and R2. And a shout out to the new droid BB-8, who was created by some Techstars alums.
Uh-huh.
And so you've got kind of like those robots that sense the world around them. They physically interact with their environment. They are they make decisions for themselves. But one of the things that we saw is we saw two other categories of startups that were really emerging predominant. And one of those is kind of technologies that are designed to go on the robots. And these could be motors, actuators, sensors, positioning systems. These are the types of technologies that enable robots to do the things that they do. And then the third big category that we saw emerging from this pool of applicants was robotic infrastructure, right? You can imagine that, over the last 100 years, we've developed highway systems and gas stations and, now electric charging stations. And as you think, a few years into the future, when we start looking at economies that are driven by or at least inhabited by robots, there's a lot of infrastructure that doesn't yet exist. And so that was a really interesting thing for us to see, which is those types of things that are adjacent to the actual robots themselves.
How do you build businesses around infrastructure for an industry that hasn't even, is just starting to take off?
Yeah, there's a couple things that I think that are really critical there. Number one is that you have to have a good frame of reference to understand where things have been and where things are going. And, when we start talking about robots, industrial robots have been around for a while, right? Commercial robots have been around for a reasonable amount of time. We're still just at the very cusp of starting to move into consumer robotics. And so a lot of it is really, having some sort of vision about what this world will look like. Here's an example. When you go to the beach today and you look up in the sky, you see exactly zero drones. Occasionally, you'll go and you'll see one flying around or following somebody or doing a droney. Mm-hmm. But you can imagine that a couple years from now, once you have a drone and I have a drone and my neighbor has a drone and there's drones following your kids around and there's lifeguard drones, all of a sudden, there's all these drones that are in the sky now and there's pending FAA regulations and whatnot. But there's all kinds of things that need to happen. There's collision avoidance systems that need to be there. There's tracking systems that need to be there. There's recharging systems that need to be in place. There's all these things that go into a world like that. Like when you start thinking about drones doing package delivery, right? Well, you got limited range on these things right now. And so when you start to think that way, self-driving cars are going to require a different type of infrastructure than human driving cars. And so when you start to think about as these things progress, what could they look like? That's where the entrepreneurs are finding opportunities to get in and work on being the companies that are establishing a lot of this infrastructure.
So is a lot of that just speculative at this point? Like, are people putting a lot of effort into companies on a speculative level? Like, this is what it could look like, and if it does, this is what's needed?
Well, I would say that the nature of startups is highly speculative, right? You know, when you look at the startups that really break out, they come in and they look for a tractable problem that has, you know, the potential to be incredibly large. And the ones that are, you know, the unicorns or whatever you want to call them, are the ones who take a look at that problem and recognize that the scope of that problem is actually a lot broader than anybody sees currently. And I think that when you talk about robotics and infrastructure, like, you know, I'm looking out of a window right now and I see exactly zero robots, right? But as we think, you know, down the road a little bit, like I'm sitting here in a little corporate office park, you know, there'll be robots that are delivering food, right? There'll be packages that are being dropped off. There'll be robot janitors that are going about their business, cleaning the offices at the end of the day. And so if you imagine what that world looks like, you start to be able to wrap your head around a lot of opportunities that come with being part of what goes into building that world.
So you had mentioned before when you were doing a presentation in Las Vegas that you guys were still trying to answer the question, what is a robot?
Yeah.
Have you gotten any closer to that answer as you've gone through this process and looked at these companies?
You know, it's funny, when we were kids and we'd sit around and we'd watch the Jetsons, we're like, oh, hey, look, it's Rosie, right?
Right.
You know, she rolled around and she like reached into the hole in the wall and pulled out a meal and all of that business. And I think that the question, what is a robot, is one that there's, you know, there's almost as many answers as there are people or robots. And for us, you know, it's kind of one of those things where if you put too much definition around it, what it does is it creates kind of an artificial constraint. And that was one of the things that, you know, like I said, as we looked through all these applications, we looked at everything that was doing, like our big question was, do you think that what you're doing is something that's the field of robotics? I think everybody has like a vision in their head about what a robot looks like. And a lot of that currently comes from sci-fi. But, you know, there's a lot of things that all of these robots have in common. One is their ability to sense what's going on in the world around them, right? That's key. They got to know where they are, what they see, you know, kind of like what their environment looks like. There is some capacity for decision making. Sometimes this is semi-autonomy. Sometimes it's full autonomy. But those robots have the ability to make decisions for themselves that don't constantly, it's not like a remote control car that only does what its driver tells it to. And lastly, is this ability to interact physically with their environment. And this, you know, typically this is some kind of mechanical interaction. Where you start to get into some really interesting kind of philosophical questions about what is a robot is, you know, the Nest thermostat, for example. It senses the world around it. It makes decisions, and then it changes the temperature. It doesn't necessarily do it mechanically, but, you know, is Nest a robot? You know, like reasonable people could debate the pros and cons of that statement. And so, you know, that was kind of one of those things where, for us, and I think for a lot of people who are working right here, I think that adopting an open attitude towards being able to look at and evaluate all of the different ideas and problem sets and solutions is something that's going to be useful as we move forward.
Is there a big open source space around robotics? You know, when you look at starting a company now, the speed of doing it and the cost is so low compared to how it was 5-10 years ago.
Yes.
Is that the same way with robotics, or is everything starting over from scratch?
No, it's getting there, right? It's certainly not where it was, but there are, you know, like open source operating systems like ROS, you know, open source hardware is kind of one of those things that's difficult, but there are a couple of things like, you know, over the last 10 years, like you mentioned, you know, when it comes to starting a software company, like the costs have dropped, they've plummeted. So it's close to zero, right? You and I could go home tonight, come up with an idea, write some code, and have an MVP launched tomorrow at a cost that's very close to zero, right? I'd have to sign up for our, you know, Apple developers license or whatever. Hardware hasn't quite gotten there yet, but there are certain trends that are emerging in the marketplace that I think make it a lot easier for those early stage companies, right? One is early prototyping using 3D printing and things like that. You know, I don't have to ship stuff out and have it machined anymore. I could print it in my garage or my den if I've got a 3D printer, which in a lot of cases are less than $1,000. There is the emergence of kind of like the shared maker spaces. So, for example, here in San Diego, if I need a CNC or a plasma cutter or, you know, God knows what that I don't have in my garage, you know, for a small monthly membership fee, I can have access to that type of equipment. There are companies that are focusing on building hardware components that you can use to build robots. And I think one of the most interesting things that's sprung up over the last couple of years in terms of enabling these hardware companies is the emergence of a crowdfunding model. Basically, it allows you to go out and fund your early production runs from customers, which does a couple of things for you. Number one is it allows you to go out and run 500 or 1,000 units without having to go out and raise capital, you know, in a traditional route from a VC. And by doing so, it gives a lot more flexibility in those early stages to go out and kind of like work on finding that product market fit, right? Get your product in the hands of some early adopters who are fans and get some good feedback so that before you go out and start tooling up, you know, you're able to have a lot of really good intelligence about what it is that people are reacting to with your product.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of the same methodologies from software you can take into hardware, which is great. You know, you learn these skills and you got to find how you're going to make money.
Yeah.
How are you guys approaching, because hardware is slightly different in its distribution than software, have you guys done any exploration on how do you take these products to market? Like, is it Kickstarter or, you know, how do you approach on the B2C side?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about it is that every company is different, right?
Okay.
And just like with software, like, you know, the process of discovering your distribution channels is just that, right? It's a process. It's, you know, you run experiments, you figure out who your customers are. You know, when you're doing your product market fit, like just like in software, you're pivoting on product, you're also pivoting on market. And so the process, I think, is similar. The distribution itself is different, right? Like I can't drop a link on Twitter and boom, you have a robot yet.
Maybe
who knows, right? Like depending, there's actually like printers that will print circuits now in addition to like,
you
like put it in your living room and, you know, put a circuit onto whatever. So like not too far down the road, maybe.
Yeah.
And so I think that really the key thing for entrepreneurs that are working in the space is to treat understanding distribution as an experiment, just like we do when we do software startups.
When it comes to selecting those 10 companies, what kind of set them apart from the rest that made you want to enter them into this first round of this really exciting robotics program?
Yeah, you know, at Techstars, you know, we run accelerators around the world. And, you know, hundreds of companies have gone through the program. And so collectively, Techstars has, you know, a really terrific kind of institutional memory for what make great founders. Mm. When we couple that with the experience that Qualcomm has technically in the robotics space for the Qualcomm Robotics Accelerator, what we really get is we get a heavy focus on the team as the primary thing that we look for. And, you know, it's not really a joke, but we talk about the fact that when we evaluate companies, we've got 6 criteria, and in order they are team, team, market, progress, and idea. And that really plays out here. You know, the founders who we talked to have terrific technical backgrounds. They're builders, they're makers, they've built things in the past. They've identified a large market, a huge market, and they've come up with a unique and novel way to provide a solution to that market using robotics. And so, you know, when we think about those early stage startups and what we look for, it's really the entrepreneur and that team, that founding team, both from a kind of a their ability to solve problems as well as their technical ability in order to be able to build.
Is there something specifically that you're looking for in the team? Because, you know, we've talked to Techstars folks before, and that's always one of the highest rated things they're looking for. But as you go down the line of, you know, starting and growing a company, there's certain things you have to do, like growing out your team. How do you identify if these makers are going to be able to handle the stress and the load of growing a company?
You know, that's a really tough question. And I don't know if you can know, like if you could absolutely know, right? Like investing would be a lot easier because you'd have like a binary judgment call on a particular entrepreneur on a particular team. But I think there's things that can, you know, tip you off, right? What have they done previously, right? Are there things in their history that have indicated that? You know, the other time, when you sit down with somebody and you talk to them and you spend a lot of time and you get to know them and you start to understand their vision and you understand their understanding of their own challenges, right? I think that there is a recognition of a certain kind of self-awareness where you understand what you're good at, you understand what you're not good at, and you've got a well-thought-out idea to fill those gaps. And I think that, you know, when you look at entrepreneurs who are successful, right, they understand those things well. They are not delusional about what they can and cannot do. And they approach it very pragmatically, right? They know that I've got to hire these particular people to do these particular things that I'm just not good at. And I'm going to need to be good at those things in order to be successful. And when you talk about that future planning, you know, you always say, oh, here, hire people smarter than you and things like that. I don't necessarily know that it's hire people who are smarter than you, but it's hire people who are able to complement your weaknesses such that it mitigates them as definitely as possible.
Yeah, that's it's actually key, and I like the way that you put that. You know, because hiring people smarter is so general, but it is true that you need to fill your own gaps. There's a lot of talk about AI and a lot of fear even about AI.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear kind of your take on a lot of the conversation that was happening. Elon Musk came out with a very famous article saying we need to be careful here. Yeah. You know, where do you guys kind of stand on some of that?
First of all, there's no you guys.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that there's a you guys consensus on anything because it hasn't happened yet, right? And in advance of anything happening, I think a lot of it is speculative. And you know, I'm going to preface this by saying, you know, there are a lot of people who do a lot of really hardcore work in artificial intelligence from an academic perspective, a research perspective, from a practitioner's perspective, and I'm not that guy. I do believe that we are kind of like sitting at the precipice of a tremendous opportunity, right? And I think that if you look at the rate of change of technology over the last couple of years, what we see is we see technology advancing, but we see the rate of change getting faster and faster and faster. And that rate of change, as it accelerates and we project out couple years into the future, or 20 years into the future, or 50 years into the future, what I believe that we will see is we will see a rate of change that it gets to the point where, you know, it's changing so fast that we don't even recognize that it's changing anymore. And, you know, this is that point in time known as a singularity where everything basically goes vertical. What happens then? God, I got no idea. But I'll tell you what, it is incredibly exciting to be able to see the talent and the intelligence and the thoughtfulness that these entrepreneurs that we have the great fortune of being able to get to know are approaching those types of things with. And if we look back even just a few years, think about the very first Roomba that came out. It wasn't all that smart, right?
Right.
Roombas, we had one for a little while, but it couldn't figure out that we had fringes on our rug and it ripped up. We don't have a Roomba anymore. But Roombas have gotten much, much smarter. And, you know, if you look at kind of like what that first generation Roomba looks like just a couple of years ago, even till today, when we look at robotic startups that are happening now, I think it's important to recognize that what we're really looking at is we're looking at a lot of kind of like first drafts, right? First ideas, first iterations, and that these iterations over time are going to evolve. And they're going to evolve in a lot of ways that it's going to be hard to see. And feedback from markets, feedback from customers, advances in technology, these are all going to be things that feed into that. So personal opinion, I'm excited about it. I think that we've got a tremendous opportunity. I certainly think that collectively as a community that's working in this space, you know, there's some very valid points to be made with regards to proceeding carefully. But I think that the upside that we're looking at here, you know, from a society is tremendous.
Awesome, yeah. So how do we keep up with this first class that's going to come through. I believe it starts in May.
Yep.
And where do we keep up with you online?
Well, the first class is going to be announced towards the end of May. The Qualcomm Robotics Accelerator powered by Techstars kicks off kind of like that last week and runs through September. You can find us online at qualcommaccelerator.com. You can follow Techstars Robotics at TS_robotics. And you can follow me at Ryan Cooter.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ryan.
Well, you guys, it's been a total pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Rocket Ship Podcast. If you enjoyed it, we have tons of other awesome episodes on our website. Check them out, rocketship.fm.
And be sure to check out our app discount section, where we have discounts on products that we use every day, like Woo Themes, Wistia, Treehouse. Go to rocketship.fm/essentials and get your discounts today.